If you'll turn to that first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, I would like to share with you some of the thinking around the verse 30. I'd like to share with you some of the thinking that goes into these precious words where the Lord Jesus met with Simon's mother-in-law. I don't want us to spend any time at all about the nonsense stories that we can tell about mothers-in-law. It would be quite wrong, inappropriate, and not right. But I want us to see that this dear lady had a serious problem. She had a fever. Fevers come in all sizes and all guises. They come for various reasons. There are those that cause us to be in great distress and those that are of less distress. But fever is fever. And when you look at this, we must understand that the attacks for the slightest reason that come upon us in terms of a fever, and when we see that fever upon us, they come to us in the most unlikely times. There was a phase in my life where I would catch some sort of bug and I would get into a terrible fever. I'd be so weak I could hardly lift a glass of water. I'd be so weak I could only lay and wish for sleep or wish for tomorrow. And there was one time when I was so ill that it took the family to hold me in the bed to keep me down. There are times in our lives that are something like that. We have a fever, and sometimes sin is like a fever. It catches us, it absolutely takes hold of us, and there is no way out, and we are the victim of the fever, victim of sin sometimes. The high temperature breaks out, and we have to pursue at all costs, it seems, this great tragedy in our lives, and we pursue it with enormous vigor and enthusiasm. It's like a high temperature fever that is pouring in upon us and bearing down upon us. Excuse me. Then there are times when a fever causes nothing but a cold sweat. And I think many times when we see ourselves with sin, we find that we're about to be discovered, and we get into a cold sweat about that. Some of you in your employment have been caught doing something not right. Not right by one means or another, it doesn't matter how it's defined. Maybe you were actually right, but you were caught in the eyes of the accuser of not being right. It causes something of a cold sweat, great anxiety. As fever comes upon us, there's a shaking. In other words, we are not able to control ourselves. Our bodies control us, we don't control our bodies. Many times, a person gets into an attitude of sin, and the sin controls the body, it controls the mind, controls the emotions, controls us. And if you look carefully, you will see that very often we are guilty of having a fever, a trying experience with a delirium. We are sometimes delirious. We hallucinate. We see things that cannot be. We see things that must not be. We imagine things to be ours that are not ours. A fever. And this lady was laid down with a great fever. While she laid with the fever, it's fair to assume that she was useless. Absolutely useless. She couldn't help the family. In fact, she was a burden to the family. James and John were with Jesus in the house of Simon and Andrew. And this lady was just laying there with a fever. Some years ago, when I first came to this church, some of the people who have a cabin down in Arroyo Seco invited me to go down for the day. We went. And as we were traveling, I was saying to those in the car with me, I don't feel very well. And when we got to Arroyo Seco, I was so unwell that I didn't enjoy the day at all, and I was a burden to those around me. And they left me in a small room so that I could somewhat recover. We would call it, I suppose, a flu bug got me. But I felt so ill, and it was just a fever. And I was in great sweats, and I was in great shakes, and I was cold, and I was hot, and I was all those things. It was a fever that overcame me. And I was useless. In fact, I was an annoyance. I was a person that they were expecting to be able to take up the slack in the party and for us to enjoy the fellowship, instead of which I needed people to minister to me and look after me and care for me. What a nuisance. These deliriums, these times of fever come, and not at times that are convenient. I remember on another occasion, I was preaching in a large church, and I wanted so much to be my very best. And when Sunday morning came, I got up to go to the church, and I felt so ill. And I said to the people that were looking after me and being kind, do you have any aspirin? I'm desperate for something. I don't feel very well. I remember standing on the platform and hanging on to the podium and watching the congregation like a ship on the sea wobble backwards and forwards. I chose a scripture that I had memorized to read. I couldn't read the scripture. I couldn't read the notes. My temperature was enormously high. I don't know how or what I preached about. Badly, I expect. It comes at the most inconvenient times. A fever of sin comes upon us like an illness. It dashes in. It causes distress. It leaves us weak and wanton. It leaves us drained and dredged. It leaves us to recover or to die. Satan would have us think that to die is sufficient. Any illness is a great concern. I ask you, please, to cast your eyes down to verses 40 and 41. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion. Now look, this is perhaps the most wondrous verse of all Scripture. One cannot say it's the most wondrous, but it has to be amongst the top five. Surely this is one of the most wonderful verses in Scripture. A man with leprosy, untouched by his family, untouched by his friends, untouched by anyone around him. For years, this man had been on his own. And suddenly he goes to Jesus, and listen to this. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus had compassion. He was filled with compassion. And the one thing the man was desperate to feel was the touch of another. And he touched him. I think it's most beautiful, one of the most beautiful sentences in all the Word of God. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. What's your condition? Is a fever of sinfulness, a fever of despondency, a fever of guiltiness, a fever of carelessness, a fever of nonsense, is it upon you? Is there something governing your whole being that you really cannot grapple with? And Jesus would reach out, touch. There's a hit song that says, "He touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. Oh, he touched me." And it's written, I suppose, about this verse, how precious it is to know the touch of Jesus, to know that when the Lord Jesus touches us, there is virtue that goes from him and flows into us. There is something desperately and wondrously marvelous when Jesus touches us. But there are three things I want to share with you. If you go back with me into the verse 30 and 31. We read that Jesus went to the woman that had the fever. Now, there's a misconception of scriptural and spiritual things. The misconception is this, that any time we, the congregation of the people, any time mankind wants, he can turn to God and he can say, okay, God, now is the time for me to be right with you. It's a misconception. It is God that so loved the world. It isn't man that so loved God. It is God that reached out to the world. It is not man that reached up to God. Man is desperately wicked. Man is without hope. Man, unfortunately, hates God. Even at his best times when he says, well, I think there may be a supernatural being, the nearest he can come is to hating God according to the scripture. And when you look at that, and you might say, I don't hate anybody, I wouldn't hate God, you have to stop and think. This is what you have to think about. If you didn't hate him, why can you not receive his love? And if you do not hate him, why cannot his spirit have free course in your life? And if you do not hate him, why do we war against him? And if we do not hate him, why do we build up barriers before him? And if we do not hate him, why are we so resistant to his will? And so Jesus, knowing our plight and knowing that we would not in any way, if we could, we would not appeal, we would not ask, we would not cry out, we would not come near to God, knowing that we will not do that, as this woman had to lay upon her bed and as she had to let the fever take its course, so we oft times lay prone, letting whatever life is to take its course. Jesus went to her. Listen to this. God went to us and sent his Son to die for us, that whoever believed in him would not be perishing, but would be having eternal life. Jesus went to her. The fever usually leaves us too weak to cope with simple things, and so he went to her. Jesus went to her. The great, wonderful Lord comes to us. There's a lovely illustration in the scripture. We miss it sometimes. We read that Jesus called the various disciples, one of whom was Matthew. And we read that Matthew was a Levite. A Levite was to do the duties of a Levite, was to instruct others in the religious ordinances, was to lead the people and to be involved in the things of God. Instead, we find he gave it up. It was boring. He gave it up. It was bland. He gave it up. It had no point. He gave it up. And he became a tax gatherer, a gatherer of taxes. I was surprised to discover that the mandatory amount of money that the federal government requires for people to be fined when they exceed the speed limit is $7. When you look at, if you get a speeding ticket, it's sometimes many dollars over that. And that is gathered into the local treasury of whatever town or city it is that you have to report to. And that's gathered by them. The mandatory amount is so small. But they make it so big, they gather taxes. It's a gathering of money. And Matthew was such a man. He gathered the taxes. There was a fine for this, that, and the other, but he could please himself what he actually did. He could pass a vote. He could cause it to be much more. And the over and above what the Roman Empire required was his to keep. And so he became a very rich man. Jesus went to him and in effect said, your whole religious experience up to now has been bland. It's been empty. It's been barren. It's been boring. Now, follow me. And he did. And so it is Jesus went to this woman. The Lord Jesus visits us where we are. He doesn't ask us to climb some mountain. He doesn't ask us to change our environment. He doesn't want us necessarily to change anything. He says, I love you exactly as you are, guilty, lost, and helpless, and I'll make you whole, says Jesus. The Lord Jesus visits us, and the moment he does, we realize our fever, the distemper of our relationship, the problem with our character, the desperation of our emotions are understood by him. They're all understood. How many times it is that we feel so thoroughly misunderstood. Here's a great expression that lots of people use. Wives use it to husbands on a continual basis. You take me for granted. There's a fever for you. There's a fever. A fever of all kinds of things. Everything from distrust to disappointment. You take me for granted. And depending how many times it's said, depending in what environment it's said, depending upon the way it's said, depending in front of whom it's said, the fever is greater or less, but oh my, it's there. Jesus came to this woman as he'll come to you with whatever problem it is. What fever is attacking you? What fever involves every faculty that we have and makes us irrational and frightened and shaky and sick? What is it that's got a grasp of us? Whatever it is, the Lord Jesus Christ will stoop over us where we are. When you read this scripture, Mark says, as we read here, that he went to her. Dr. Luke uses a slightly different expression in the original language. He says he stooped over her like a doctor would stoop over a bed of a sick patient. He simply leaned over and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. It was a simple process. Jesus was involved. Notice, will you, he took her hand. Wherever you see Jesus, you see compassion. Wherever you see Jesus, you see his great compassion. The expression about the man that had the leprosy in verse 41, he was filled with compassion. He was simply oozing from every part of him, filled with a great compassion, an inner yearning to be helpful, to empathize, to sympathize. Jesus took her by the hand. What a compassion. Touching, the reaching to the one in great need. The scripture tells us we have a high priest that isn't touched or isn't unaware of our infirmities and the feelings of our infirmities. He knows our feelings. Maybe you're one of those persons who somehow manages to be snubbed easily. Or maybe you're one of those persons that manages to snub others easily. Maybe you're one of those persons like a horse with blinkers on. You can only see the tunnel vision that's straight in front of you. Someone came to this church some time ago and said something like this to me in terms of a complaint. I've come in and I've gone out of that church. Nobody spoke to me. And I said, well, I recall shaking your hand and wishing you a good morning. Oh, yes, but I didn't mean you. Nobody spoke to me. I said, well, I guess I'm Pastor Nobody. That's okay. But someone did speak to you. Well, nobody in the congregation spoke to me. I said, you have to understand something. You're one of the first out. You were sitting way back and you were out the door and gone. If I hadn't rushed, I wouldn't have reached you. You were ahead of me. Well, that's true. Well, how can you speak if somebody's dashing out? How can you deal with a person? Not only did Jesus go to this lady, he took her by the hand. And he touched that hand. We have a high priest who puts his hand where the hurt is. We have a high priest who is precious and is so concerned with our hurts. There's some of us that we have to show our hurts. No matter how we blast the scripture, no matter how we damage people around us, we must always, it seems, express ourselves. We're like people that cannot look after the spirit that is within us. And Proverbs tells us that a person that cannot look after their own spirit is a person like a city with its defenses smashed down. The enemy can come in and tear them apart. And unfortunately, not many Christians believe that word in Proverbs. He holds me where I am. The Lord Jesus is close. He touches me. He takes me by the hand. His compassion reaches me. He holds my hand. And the touch is there. It's important that I understand it, because my hope is nothing without Jesus. My love is nothing without Jesus. My peace is non-existent without Jesus. My joy is shot without Jesus. And if I look at myself without the hope and without the love and without the peace and without the joy, I have to see myself with dread and with hate and unrest and misery. But he reaches down and into where I am, and he lifts me up. He takes my hand. He is not afraid to touch me where I am. The holy touches the repugnant. The divine touches the ridiculous. It is Jesus that went to the woman and reached out his hand and took her hand. Now look at the third movement, and helped her up. What a tremendous work. He helped her up. His strength became her strength, and his becomes ours. I don't know if you're living in the flesh, as the old expression is, or whether you're living in the spirit, but I have to challenge you this way. The Spirit of God comes to us in our weakness, not in our strength. So many times Christians, like fighting cocks, are forever flapping their wings and showing how tough they are. And the Spirit of God doesn't come to a full heart. He doesn't come to the strong. He comes to the weak and the sickly. He comes to those that have no defense. He comes to those that are cast out. He comes to those that are diseased and looked upon as ridiculous, those that are a burden, not to those that are tremendously healthy. Jesus said, I have to come to those that are without help. Talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, you think you're well. I've come to the sick, he says. You have no need of a physician. I've come to those that need a physician. Do you need such love being expressed to you today? Then, my dear friend, allow him to minister to your very need. Now, at this minute, this moment, open your heart, open your expression to him. For it's not by your power, and it's certainly not by your might, but it's by his Spirit. And the Lord has said this, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There is where it all seems to be, his kingdom reaching down to take us up, his kingdom reaching down to fill us up, his kingdom written upon the fleshy tablet of our heart, his kingdom fulfilling itself within us, his person grasping hold of us. Oh, he will lift us up. There's an old hymn. It's written in the book of Psalms. He would come to that person that was in a horrible pit, that person that was in the slime of clay. And he would reach down and gather them up and lift them up and put their feet upon a solid rock. And he would put a new song in their mouth. The song of a person in a ditch that is filled with slime and clay is a song of misery, is a song of bewilderment. It's a song of hopelessness. It's a song of horror. It's a song of the realization that I cannot change my environment. I'm stuck in this awful experience. And the desperation is to cry. And the song is the cry. Listen to the songs that are sung today in our entertainment centers. And most of them are songs that are filled with a cry of desperation. They're filled with a cry of longing for something different. How people have been let down. How people have been destroyed. How people have been hurt. How people have been damaged. Song after song of broken loves and broken affections and broken feelings and broken friendships. Song after song telling of the boredom of life, telling of the blandness of life, telling of the blight of life. So much is being sung. We want a new song. Travel with me sometime in my car, and you'll hear some of the most ridiculous little ditties of all time. And you might join others that have mocked the silly nonsense. But amongst them are small songs and small hymns of praise. And amongst them are expressions of wondrous things because there is a new song in the mouth. The old Negro spiritual. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've been through. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Why glory, hallelujah, after such an expression? Because the trouble I have been through is done. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I'm now with Jesus. Jesus is with me. He reached down. He lifted the woman with the fever. And he lifted her up. And her feet were set upon the ground. Look at her. She now serves Jesus and all the attendants and those that were there. She joins in with the other women and is enthusiastic. The fever is completely gone. Completely gone. How precious this is. Do you have such a fever today? My dear, dear, dear friend, I just use the scripture and ask you to be challenged by the precious word of God. Allow the Holy Scripture to speak to your soul. For God so loves you, he would lift you up. He would lift you up. Allow him, for he loves you. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we identify ourselves with this lady with the fever, we realize afresh and again how necessary it is for us to cry out to you, for us to be aware that you are still the wonderful Lord that you are, and you can still take our hand and still lift us up. So we ask that in the condition we are in, you'll meet us there and you'll lift us up in our need. Please, Lord, deal with us now, loving us and keeping us and overcoming us with your grace. O Lord, our God, our mind boggles at the thought of your great compassion. We ask that you will bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen.